is Katie Breedeman for Catholic Charities. Our regional offices were quite busy during Lent this year. In the South and Southwest Cook region, 6 events were held in 7 weeks, along with community partners and several parishes and ministries within the Archdiocese of Chicago. Listen in as Monsignor Dennis Lyle, Mary Ellen Brabeck, Mark McCombs, and Christopher Torres recap this series of wonderful service projects that provided basic needs and critical support to hundreds of Chicagoans. Chris, can we start off with you? Can you please tell us about the goals of the 7-week Lenten service initiative?
Well, thank you. It all starts usually from a conversation. What is the need of the local community in this, either in the suburbs or in the city or a parish? And it's usually over coffee. And that was a question we asked probably about 6 months ago. What do we need to do? What could we do? How do we get parishes and community involvement, and also, how do we help people in the community? And we came up with this faithful neighbors process for Lent. How do we do 6 events or 7 events in the Lent, in 6 weeks of Lent? And this is really a collaboration of all the different organizations that allowed us to do these things over the last couple of weeks. And it was really fun. It was really exciting, and it was funny sometimes. But it was good. It was very good.
Well, it was such a great combination of teamwork within parishes and community partners, some outdoors, some indoors. You know, let's start with that first event, Chris, which was held on March 4th at Catholic Charities WIC Food Center, the Women, Infant, and Children Food Center on Kedzie. Can you please tell us about that and how many people were served that day?
You know, it's funny. We got there in the morning, and we weren't sure if it was going to rain or snow. And there was a line out the door while we were setting up. We had 287 people come through the line that morning. That includes 82 families. And they basically cleaned us out of everything that we brought. And it included everything from blankets, baby blankets from Project Linus, diapers, toiletries, food items, comfort bags of different items that we had through donations and what we purchased from our own stocks. And it was a very fast and very intense morning, but we got everybody through in the 3.5 hours we were there. It was really, really, really good.
So impressive. Our live stream is going to be showing throughout the program today photos from these 6 events, and each one, it just has everybody working so hard and being so kind and gracious to all the guests who are coming in need of these basic items. Mary Ellen, can I turn to you? The second event was held March 18th at Jesus Shepherd of Souls Parish in Calumet City, and this parish combines the faith communities of Our Lady of Knock, St. Andrew the Apostle, and St. Victor parishes. How did this event go?
It was really a great event to participate in with other groups. We had, in addition to the parish partnership, we also had Calumet City Resources, which is a partner, and they run a food pantry out of the parish. And that morning, we served 126 individuals and 30 families, and they received a variety of basic needs. So they got their food from the pantry. Then we had toiletries, we had coats, we had diapers, we had stuffed animals and baby blankets. And we had volunteers from both South and Southwest. We had Patrice and Mike Mackin, Mike Kapp, myself, Bert Rivera, and Deacon Phil Robluski. One of the things that's neat about this program is, and a lot of these programs, Chris mentioned Project Linus. It's, you know, people making blankets. And sometimes there's people sitting at home that don't know what else to do. They want to be able to help in some way, and they don't know what way they can offer, what services, what gifts they have that they can share. And so, you know, making the blankets is one thing that people can do. We had a group of people who felt very frustrated with the immigrants who didn't have coats when they were coming off the buses. And so several people started a collection of money, reached out to Chris and said, hey, if we collect this money, can you get coats and get them out? So we were able to reach out actually across the city with the donations that they received for that. So, you know, it's really good to give people the opportunity who are frustrated at home not knowing what they can do by reaching out and helping Catholic Charities in their own way with their own gifts, be it financial or talents.
And Chris is such a wonderful regional director in that regard, Mary Ellen. He connects like-minded people to help guests in the most effective ways. You know, Monsignor Lyle, it is such an honor to have you with us today. You're pastor of St. Mary Magdalene Parish, which has combined the active communities of the former St. Benedict Parish in Blue Island, St. Peter Claver Mission in Robbins, and St. Walter Parish in Chicago, continuing the faith tradition of these parishes that goes back to the 1860s. It's so inspiring. Can you tell us about the third event in this Lenten Service Project series, which was held at your parish on March 22nd? This was an outdoor event, right?
Yes, it was. And we also piggybacked on our weekly food pantry. So we have a food pantry every Friday morning. And so in discussion with Chris and Catholic Charities, we thought it would be most effective to work with that since we already have people coming. And although it was a cold and snowy day, actually, it worked out very well. And I know we went through, I'm not quite sure how many things we gave away, but I definitely know there was a line there from 9 o'clock in the morning until 11. Chris is indicating that we gave away or served 177 people in the community. And the people in the community would be both residents and perhaps new migrants who have been arriving in the last couple of months. We've definitely seen an increase in people coming from Colombia and Venezuela. And like you said, Katie, people are arriving here without any real sense of what the extreme temperatures can be. And so just being able to provide them with the necessities is very rewarding. And also, I think, important to get our parishioners. We had our Círculo de Oración, so we had our Spanish prayer group team up with Catholic Charities this time, and they had plenty of volunteers, and it worked out very well.
And look at all the smiles on the guests who are receiving these coats and basic needs. You're clearly providing a critical need in these communities, Monsignor. Can I ask, were there any surprises or best practices that you and your team, you know, were able to discover after your event was over?
You know, for me, it's important, I think, to listen to the suggestions of the volunteers after the event. They're the ones that are dealing, you know, individually with the people, and whatever suggestions they make, I think often improves and helps the process.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, Mark, I'd like to bring you in the conversation. For the fourth event, you and Chris teamed up with a wonderful group of partners in support of the Colby House Jail Ministry. Tell us about that.
Well, we're the prison and jail ministry for the Archdiocese, and we're located two blocks from the jail. So that means that on any given day, we may have 3 to 20 people showing up looking for us to help them with whatever their needs are coming out, whether it be getting an ID card, getting health insurance, pre-employment training. The motivation to get them to our door is everybody walks out with a fresh set of clothes. And that's where Chris came in, where I got a cold call from him one day saying, hey, come on, let's sit down and talk and figure out how Catholic Charities can help you. And the next thing I know is I'm sitting down with him, we're having lunch. A couple of weeks later, he tells me, I've got Marian Catholic High School and St. John Newman Grade School ready to help you with clothes. They're gonna box up sets of clothes that are gonna take care of 50 men, sets of toiletries that are gonna take care of 50 men. And then on top of that, the First Communion class from St. John Newman is going to put in little notes and a piece of knitting that's going to tell these guys when they get out of prison, they come down to your door, if you ever forget that someone loves you, just rub this and it'll remind you. And it's just, it was so incredibly moving to sit down with these groups of students, especially at Marian Catholic, and see them so engaged. And I was telling you beforehand, it just left me telling our staff back at Colby House about how wonderful I feel about the future of our church and the hands that it's in.
And I have to add kudos to Anel Navarro, who's my partner in crime over here. We have so many contacts and relationships with so many parishes and other organizations. It really allows us to say, okay, I can take a piece from your donation. I can connect with another ministry. I can connect with board members and their students and say, what do we want to do? And really, it comes again, what can we do in the community that helps the community in need, organize it, and then just go do it.
You know, Chris, we before the break, we were talking about item or service project, I should say, number four. But the number fifth service initiative was done with you in tandem with St. John Newman Parish in Homewood. And I should mention that St. John is the combined faith community of St. Joseph, St. Anne, and St. Emmerich Parishes. Can you please tell us about that service initiative?
So it's always funny. I seem to come up with these ideas. We seem to come up with these ideas over coffee. So we have a board member. His name is Mike Kapp, and he's also works with the eighth graders for confirmation at St. John Newman. And so we were talking over coffee about projects we could do with students. And so he suggested that we do a blessing bag project. And the same deal, we had donated and purchased different basic needs items, and he picked them up. And the students and their families would diligently had a Saturday morning where they came to the church and put together all these blessing bags. And so he comes back with his truck. Thank God. Thank goodness he had a truck. And said, here's all these bags. And on top of it, we have these nice cards and these nice little knitted crosses and stuff that the students had into the bags. So we handed them out part of them went to a PADS group, which is a ministry at St. John Newman. And then we also handed them out through the regional office at some of these events. And same thing, the families were ecstatic to get involved. It's a learning opportunity for students to see that, yes, you can do something meaningful. And this is what, when you do this, this is where it goes. And here's what happens. And I think, it's also good for the parents. The parents also get to see that we're actively engaging students, and there's other volunteer opportunities at the agency. I always say this, we can always use help. So, it's always an opportunity for students to get more involved and really do something in their community, which I can't emphasize enough. Everything's local, the needs are local, and all you have to do is raise your hand and get a group of people who say, yeah, let's go do it, and you go do it.
And it really does seem like the volunteers are completely engaged and enjoying their commitment and their participation in these events, Chris. You know, the last event of the six was at Lawrence Manor in Matson. And this is one of Catholic Charity's senior apartment buildings. Can you tell us about this event that was called Wisdom Bites?
Yes. And that was a fun event too. I can't even talk. So we have a partnership with Franciscan Health in Olympia Fields, a regional hospital. And so we had sat down and talked about how do we want to engage. And the senior housing unit is in their catchment area. So they brought out a nutritionist to do a healthy meal. And we purchased the food after we received the recipe for the menu. And we had 27 seniors show up. And, it's funny. It's fun to hang out with them because they have no filters. They'll tell you if they like the food, if they don't like the food. And so she gave a class on healthy eating, and we served everybody healthy soup and a salad and a nice, like a spiced chicken. And then we had some games, and we had a little bit of raffling off for the healthy answers. It was fun. I ate with the meal. We've had events there in the past with the Girl Scouts during Halloween. And it's just nice to talk to people and talk about what we're doing, and what better place to do it in one of our own buildings.
Thank you for listening to this Voice of Charity podcast. Each show airs live Tuesday mornings at 8:30 on WNDZ 750 AM in Chicago, with a simultaneous live stream on YouTube and Facebook at Catholic Chicago. We invite you to learn more about ways to get involved at Catholic Charities by visiting our website, catholiccharities.net, or by sending an email to partners@catholiccharities.net. Join us as we continue to improve lives and nourish spirits across Cook and Lake Counties.